Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
On this Valentine's Day, we continue in our series from the letter that James, Jesus' brother, and who was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem, this letter that he wrote to his scattered congregation that he loved so, so much. It was because persecution was happening in that time, in that day, in that age. And James was writing this letter because the followers that were of Jesus that were in his church, they were scattered all over that region that surrounded Jerusalem and beyond. And so James takes the time to write this letter to encourage the people, his people that he loved so much, to then continue living out their lives of faith. That's what we're calling this series. We're calling it Life Hacks from James, how to live out your faith, because that's what James shares in this letter that we've been studying. He just shares these different little life hacks all throughout his letter about what it looks like for followers of Jesus to actually live out their faith, live out what it is that they say they believe. And so one of the themes that keeps cropping up in this little letter that James is writing is how to live lives of wisdom. This is such an incredibly important word all throughout Scripture. Just say this word wisdom with me on three. One, two, three. Wisdom. Wisdom, such an incredible theme. And let's talk about wisdom just for a moment, about what it is and what it is not. Wisdom is not just knowing a bunch of facts and figures. Knowing a bunch of facts and figures is called knowledge. And knowledge and wisdom are actually two different things. Let me illustrate for a minute. Wisdom and knowledge, two different things here. Knowledge doesn't automatically mean that you know what the wise thing is to do. If you have wisdom, man, if you've got wisdom, that means you've been gathering knowledge, you've been gathering truth, you've been gathering experiences in your life, and some of those happen from other people's lives, and then if you live those out, it's going to lead you to success and blessing in your own life, and it's going to lead to blessing other people's lives. So some illustrations of this. You can know that, man, regular exercise, you can know that daily healthy eating habits, you can know that if you drink plenty of water every day, and know if you get about 8 hours of sleep each night, man, those are gonna lead you to a healthy life. You know all that, and yet you can know all that stuff and still be a couch potato who primarily just eats junk food and drinks a lot of soft drinks and maybe doesn't get enough sleep because you're up all night binging on Netflix and playing video games late into the night. You know that that's not healthy, and yet you may do it anyway. Being wise when it comes to a subject of money. Man, being wise with money and being knowledgeable about money. Two different things. If you spend more than you make, that's not good. Everybody knows that, or should know that. Spending more than you make, what does that lead you to? It leads you to debt. And then debt leads to all kinds of difficulties in your life. But giving and saving and budgeting and living within your means, investing and having a plan, those may be things dealing with money that people know about, but it's been suggested that being wise with money is actually only about 20% knowledge. It's that other 80% that you actually have to do what we know. Do what's been suggested to be wise with our money. Putting it all into a long and sustained, disciplined kind of life. So there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. And while Valentine's Day tends to remind people of a theme of love, all throughout the Scripture, all throughout, from the Old Testament all the way through to the New, we read about something that we're to love. We are to love wisdom. Let me just share a passage of scripture from the book of Proverbs. It'll be on the screen. This is a great one to remember on this Valentine's Day. Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 7 says this: get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, her being wisdom. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will keep you. Love her, love wisdom, and wisdom will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. And whatever you get insight. A great, great, great passage from Scripture that we need to remember on this Valentine's Day. So let wisdom be your Valentine today. Be my Valentine today. And as the Scripture says, get it. Get wisdom. Love wisdom. Because wisdom leads to insight. And I love what has been said on that subject of insight. Foresight is better than hindsight, but insight is better than both. Friends, applied insight can lead to a life well lived, a life of wisdom. And James has some things to say about wisdom to the people that he loves so much. So take your Bible, open it, turn it on, turn it over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Today we're going to take a closer look at what James has to say on this subject of wisdom and what it has to do with us actually living out our faith. So while James is going to speak about wisdom in the passage we're going to focus on today, James 3 verses 13 through 18, he's actually already referenced wisdom earlier on in his letter. We weren't five verses in to his letter back in chapter 1 that James starts talking about wisdom. Look what he says in verse 5 of James chapter 1. He says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." So think about wisdom for a second. Think about your life. Think about the people that you know. And just raise your hand if you'd like a little more wisdom in your life. My hand's up. I sure would love more wisdom in my life. Man, raise your hand if you'd like for somebody else in your family to maybe have a little bit more wisdom. Yeah, I see some hands going up in the back of the room right now. Yeah, raise your hand if you'd like your boss to have a little bit more wisdom, or if you're the boss, if you'd like your employees to have some more wisdom in their life. Hey, here's one that I think everybody can probably raise their hand on. Raise your hand if you'd like everybody in government to have more wisdom. All hands are up all over the broadcast right now and all in the room. Yeah, we all could use more wisdom. But what kind of wisdom? What kind of wisdom do we want? See, James is about to tell us here that there is more than just one kind of wisdom. So let's pick our chapter up again, our letter up again, in James chapter 3, and we'll read verses 13 through 18. Notice that he talks about more than one kind of wisdom. James 3, beginning in verse 13, James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So James right here is saying there's at least two kinds of wisdom. There's two kinds of wisdom. There's heavenly wisdom, and then there is earthly wisdom. Heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. So based on what James is saying that we just read, there's this wisdom that comes down from above. And so let's read that wisdom that comes from God. Godly wisdom resides where God resides, in heaven. And then he also talks about how there is earthly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, as we just read, is depicted by a little bit of lacking. That there's something that's not complete. There's something that doesn't match up from wisdom that comes from above, from heavenly wisdom. And so he's comparing heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom. And James is just talking about how, man, earthly wisdom, where there's earthly wisdom, there's bitter jealousy. There's selfish ambition. It can be described as unspiritual, and he even describes it as demonic. So, okay, we were poking fun a little bit a moment ago at our leaders in government to have more wisdom. But we really should want that for them, right? I mean, we want them to have wisdom, and yet now we're reading here in James that he's on to something that we need to clue into. We shouldn't only want our governmental leaders just to want wisdom. We should actually desire for them and pray for them to have wisdom that comes from above. Wisdom that is from God, heavenly wisdom. Otherwise, look what it says in verses 14 to 16 again. Don't miss this. But verses 14 to 16 start playing out. I mean, whether you're a Republican or whether you're a Democrat or whether you are an independent, it's not hard to view these verses through our own political lenses and then go, wow, yeah. I mean, that's what's happening right now before our very eyes in our government. It's earthly wisdom being manifested. Read these verses again with me and think about our government from whatever perspective or persuasion you tend to be. Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, it doesn't really matter to me, and I don't think it really matters to James, but I want you to read and see what he's saying here about earthly wisdom and what it looks like, how it's described. Verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So let me tell you what's happening right now. If you are a Democrat, here's what you're thinking. Yep, see, that's just what we voted out of office. And yet, if you're a Republican, you're going, yep, see, that's just what now assumed office. It doesn't matter which side of the aisle you happen to be on, you see it through your own lenses. Whether you view life through a red lens or a blue lens, it's not difficult to see the effects that James is describing as earthly wisdom. And I think that we can all agree with this right here. More heavenly wisdom on earth would be a welcomed thing right now. And yet, even when it comes to wisdom, if we listen, we can begin to hear echoes of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray about God's kingdom coming and God's will being done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. Heaven on earth. That heaven on earth kind of living, it includes wisdom from above being instilled and then not just known about, but put into practice, lived out on earth by the people of God, the followers of Jesus. And so James is saying in his letter that friends, we've got some ways to go. We've still got some walking to do, some wisdom from above to attain. We've got to keep our tongue controlled, because our tongues keep getting us in trouble, as we talked about last week. It's our tongue that keeps lighting these fires that spread all over the place in uncontrollable ways, and our words begin to torch and destroy other people's lives if we're not careful. N.T. Wright talks about this in one of his commentaries I was reading in preparation for this message. He talks about how James already says at the beginning of chapter 3 that the tongue is a fire set aflame by hell. He references that back in verse 6. And now we get down into the passage that we're reading today. And in verse 15, we just read, James says that a mindset that is garnered by earthly wisdom comes from the world of demons. Did you notice that? Look at that description again. In verse 15 of earthly wisdom, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Demonic. As Wright goes on to say, it may give some appearances of wisdom. Cynicism often does. We're faced then with two kinds of wisdom. And friends, this may well be a word for our day, coming straight from the pen of James that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Think about it. When so many people across our world are fed up with the way that their country is run, with the way that their police force may behave at different times, with the way a global economy functions, and so on and so forth, often these kinds of criticisms are justified, as they certainly would have been in James's day as well. But the challenge then for God's people is to be able to tell the truth about the way that the world is and about the way that wicked people are behaving without just turning into a perpetual grump who's always complaining, always bagging on the world in which God so loves. And in particular, without becoming someone whose appearance of wisdom just consists of being able to always say a cutting word, always being able to talk down about whatever's going on around us, about everyone and everything, and sparking with our words a roaring fire that comes off of our tongue. Just as James warned and identified at the start of chapter 3, and he references this important issue of taming our tongue and the way that our words can be used for good or for not so good all throughout his letter. Wright goes on in his commentary to say how there is still, I mean, after all, a vast amount of beauty and goodness, of love, of generosity all around the world. And those who follow Jesus or claim to follow Jesus not only need to be celebrating that goodness, they need to be contributing to it with the way that we live our lives, the words that we speak, the actions that we find ourselves engaged with day in and day out. As that saying has said for many, many years, it's better to light a candle than just to sit by and curse the darkness. And wisdom, men and women, wisdom from above, it shines brightly and our world that needs to be able to see clearly. So since James helped us know that there are a couple of different categories for wisdom, and many of us were raising our hands a few moments ago about wanting more wisdom, and not only wanting it more for ourselves, but wanting more wisdom for our family and for our friends, our bosses, our employees, our government. If I've got a choice between heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom, wisdom from above or wisdom from below, then here's what we need to do. We need to aim high and stay low. Aim high and stay low. That's this life hack that we see today coming from James's letter that we want to incorporate into our lives. Would you just say that with me out loud? Aim high and stay low. Aim high and stay low. Man, that's a great strategy, a great life hack. Let me put some life application, some illustration around it, give you an opportunity to take a breath for a minute, kind of laugh with me, maybe laugh at me for a minute, because aim high and stay low, that was actually one of my strategies as a kid growing up when it came to surviving just the neighborhood daily wars and battles and conflicts that we would get into with our friends and just the kids in the neighborhood. So I'm going to give you five different pictures here that you can laugh at me for a minute, and I'll tell you a little bit about the aim high, stay low. So this is me when I was about five, full head of hair, just kind of a mischievous look in my eye. So there's little David, and man, I'm telling you, little David had a little brother, and little David's little brother's name was Andy. And in this picture right here, I guarantee you, we are getting ready to go to church, and as soon as we get home from church, we're stripping off our Sunday best, and we are going to find ourselves in a war somewhere in our neighborhood. Now, I had another sibling. It's not just my brother Andy, but here's Dad. The sideburns are looking good. The trucker's hat back in 83 is looking really tall there. That's awesome. I think he's got on a shirt there that we gave him for Father's Day. Best Dad ever. And then we had our names, David, Andy, and Sarah, pressed on. And man, the shorts are looking good. He's rocking the Puma. There, the suede Pumas, really nice. So there's me and my little John Deere hat, and my brother, oh, can you go back one? Yep, then my brother Andy is looking and going, man, I wonder how cold that water really is that I'm looking into. And this is my little sister Sarah right in the middle. She was always in the wars with us. And these three people right here, myself, my brother, and my sister, we constantly were at war with one another. Go to this next picture, because this is my grandmother several years ago. She's just watching her three little angels out there. We'd gone out to do whatever we were going to do out at the farm, out in the middle of West Texas. She lived about 4 miles outside of Hamlin, my granddad and her did. And we're working in the garden, and you can just see us here. We are getting mud, and what's about to happen before too long, I can promise you, is going to be in this next picture. In this next picture, that is me. Look at those shorts. Isn't that great? And just the field behind us. I have got some kind of dirt clod in my sights that's about to get launched through whatever apparatus I've got there. It's probably a slingshot. And what's about to happen is a war is going to break out on this day. I'm certain of it. Because here's the different kind of wars. Let me just tell you about three kind of wars that I found myself in quite often. This one right here, that you may not be able to see that clearly on your screen at home, but that's just a kid's hand with a dirt clod in it. We had more dirt clod fights and dirt clod wars in our neighborhood. Every day we were grabbing dirt and dirt clods and throwing it at each other and trying to hit each other. If it wasn't dirt clods, we'd do the acorn wars. I mean, man, when the acorns started falling off the trees, oh, just look out. Dirt clods go away, acorns start firing and hurling around the neighborhood. And if it's not acorns, especially if it was after Christmas, man, we'd have the Nerf gun wars going. Nerf wars everywhere. And our strategy, my strategy, was this strategy right here on all of it. It is aim high and stay low. I mean, if you're aiming high, you're going to probably hit somebody. But if you're up high as well, you're going to get drilled. So you aim high and you stay low. And that served me really well as a kid. You're probably sitting there thinking, yeah, okay, I get the aim high and the stay low as it pertains to surviving childhood, neighborhood fights and wars with dirt clods and acorns and Nerf guns. I can relate. Funny story. Thanks for the ha-ha moment. Even funny pictures. Great pictures. Love the tube socks, the sideburns, and the great fashion from decades ago. But what does aim high and stay low mean for us today? What does that mean for me today? Trying to live out my faith and incorporating this life hack from James. It's a great question. Let me try to respond with something that C.S. Lewis said about this. C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven or aim high. Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither. So when it comes to living out our faith on earth as it is in heaven, what James is calling us to do is to aim high. Aim at heavenly wisdom. Aim at getting that wisdom that is from above. And as we do so, begin to live lives that demonstrate humility. When James starts talking about this kind of wisdom from above that's connected then with wise people who are living this out on earth, he's not talking about people who are self-promoters. He's not talking about people who are stuck up. He's not talking about people who are always trying to convince everybody else how great they are or how smart they are or how Instagrammable their life may seem to be. No. No. He's talking about people who are living lives of humility. People who've been following Jesus for a long time, knowing the Word of God, and not only knowing the Word of God and understanding the Word of God, but actually living it out on earth as it is in heaven. Men and women who are living imitatable lives rather than just Instagrammable lives. There's a big difference in living an imitatable life versus just living an Instagrammable life. Look again what James says in verse 13. I want you to see this. Lock into this. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? By her good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. The meekness of wisdom. It's an interesting phrase. The meekness of wisdom. That talks about a life that is strong, that's powerful, and yet it's restrained. It's under self-control. The imagery behind the word meekness in Scripture is that of a powerful horse, a strong horse. But not a wild horse, a horse that's got reins and a bridle and a bit in its mouth. It's power under control. Power that can be guided. Not power that's just going off and going crazy. You see, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strong. It's a powerful life that's lived under restraint and self-control. That's starting to talk about a life that's aiming high and staying low. Look at verse 17. This is an incredibly rich verse here. Verse 17, descriptions of heavenly wisdom, wisdom from above, wisdom from God, lived out by people who are aiming high and staying low. How is staying low described here? Look at verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. What does that mean? That means people who are aiming high and staying low are described as people who are living it out, embodying lives that can be identified as someone who's pure and peaceable and gentle and open to reason and full of mercy and full of good fruits and impartial and sincere. So think for just a second. Do you know anybody like that? If you scroll through your contacts and see the different names, do any of those names in your contacts go, yeah, that person looks a lot like what we just read about in verse 17. That's a person who's demonstrating a life of heavenly wisdom, but man, they're not just spouting it all off. They're living it, and they're humble in doing so. Do you know anybody like that? Do you think James did? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to vote yes. And the person that I think he knew that demonstrated that was his older brother, Jesus. Yeah, big brother Jesus, absolutely. In fact, think about this with me. So much of the description that James is articulating in this part of the letter actually echoes what James probably heard Jesus talk about in his Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Great passages to read this week. And there's echoes of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount all throughout James's letter. But let's just lock in right here for a few minutes in what we're talking about here and listen to what Jesus says about actually being a wise person, a person who exhibits and lives out this wisdom from above. It's how Jesus wraps up his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 7, verses 24 to 29, Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man or a wise woman who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house, but it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man, a foolish woman who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. The people, man, they didn't know what to do with Jesus. Because, man, he's talking about something, and not just talking about something that's mind-blowing. He's actually living what he's talking about. He's living this heaven on earth kind of life. He's talking about heavenly wisdom, not just earthly wisdom. What wisdom from above, men and women, is about both aiming high and, say it with me, staying low. It's taking the words of Jesus and the ways of Jesus and reading them and then heeding them. It's listening and living them out just like Jesus taught. And just like James saw and heard and then wrote it out in his own letter. You want to aim high and stay low? Friends, it's going to involve meekness, just as we looked at in verse 13, and that Jesus taught about in his Sermon on the Mount, where he said regarding meekness, he said this, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Wow. You want to aim high and stay low? Then it's going to involve the descriptions of a life lived lowly in humility. Remember verse 17 that we read just a moment ago. Let's read it again. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Again, just like we read and saw from meekness, we see all of these attributes all talked about when Jesus preaches the Sermon on the Mount. Let me just make the connections, because James saw it. James heard it. James is writing about it. In regards to purity, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Matthew 5:8. Regarding being peaceable, in Matthew 5:9, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Regarding being gentle, watch this here. Gentle talks about meekness, and then it's going to connect it with being gentle. Jesus says this, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He goes on to say these words, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He keeps going, and he says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Regarding being open to reason, Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Regarding being full of mercy, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive what? Mercy. Regarding good fruits, Jesus says this, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And then regarding being impartial and sincere, these attributes mean treat everyone without favoritism and without hypocrisy. Jesus condemned this sin four different times in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, verse 5, verse 16, and in Matthew 7, verse 5. Friends, James heard and he saw these attributes of wisdom from above being taught and being lived out through Jesus' life. And we hear these echoes of Jesus' teaching from this part of James's letter. And it so impacted James's life. And then we hear it again as we wrap up in verse 18. James 3:18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Again. From the lips of Jesus during the Sermon on the Mount, he says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, daughters of God. So let me ask you as we wrap our time up, are you a peacemaker or a peacebreaker? Are you someone who tends to disturb the peace or delivers peace with your presence, delivers peace with your words, delivers peace with your posts? Are you a peacemaker or a peace breaker? What I'm asking you is, are you someone who's aiming high and staying low? Because I want to be a person who's known for aiming high and staying low. I want to be a person who's known as someone at the end of my life and throughout my life who's got wisdom, but it's wisdom from above, not just wisdom from earth. And if I want to be that kind of person, if you want to be that kind of person, then you and I, we need to begin to gravitate towards people who've demonstrated over a lifetime a life that is aiming high and staying low. Let me just share some examples from my own life as maybe you can begin to think of examples in your life. Man, people that come to my mind are like my parents. My mom and dad are people who have aimed high and stayed low throughout their life. I'm so grateful that I can say the same thing about Allison's parents, Larry and Rita Covington, people who aim high and stay low. Certainly my grandmother, Sarah Ford, aiming high, staying low in her ninth decade of life. I think about my youth pastor, Bob Johns. Someone who consistently over decades has aimed high and stayed low. I think about my pastor, Dr. Gary Singleton, someone who just exhibited and continues to exhibit aiming high and staying low. I think about an older brother in ministry who's a pastor down in Sugar Land, Neil McClendon, someone who's aiming high and staying low. I think about Dr. Ron Cook, my doctoral director and a professor, and just a key influencer in my life, a man who is aiming high and staying low. So let me just ask you this question. Who do you know in your life that's aiming high and staying low? Maybe somebody comes to your mind right now. Maybe a couple of different people are coming to your mind right now. Let me ask you to not just think about who those people are, but to actually do something. Would you make a commitment to reach out this week and to ask people who are living the kinds of life that are aiming high and staying low to speak wisdom into your life? Now, if you ask them to speak wisdom into your life, what they're going to tell you is, oh, man, I don't consider myself to be wise. That's a wise person. they know that, gosh, to say I'm wise is foolish. But you know who those people are, those followers of Jesus who live out what they say they believe, and they've been aiming high and staying low for years and years and years. What would it look like for you to intentionally engage a person that fits that criteria? That fits that criteria, verse 17, all of those different attributes that we looked at a moment ago, that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. That's people demonstrating wisdom from above and living lives that are staying low. They're aiming high and staying low. Who are those people? Would you identify one or two or three people this week? Maybe you already know who those people are and they've given input to you and given wisdom to you in days gone by and you just might want to re-engage them. You know, well, what do I do when I do that? Tell them that your pastor is leading all of us through the book of James and we got to chapter 3 and it talks about wisdom from above. And you came to mind. And you just want to ask them, whether they consider themselves wise or not, what are you learning right now? Ask them, what are you reading right now? Ask them, what are you praying about right now? Ask them, what are you hearing God say to you right now? And then ask them this question. Do you have a word for me? Is there something that God's putting on your heart right now that God may want you to say to me? Friends, some of the most powerful responses have come into my life when I've positioned myself before people I consider wise, people who are aiming high and staying low. And when I've asked them that question, more times than not, they speak something into my life that's radically powerful, that I needed to hear. Sometimes that I didn't want to hear, but God used the tongues of wise men and women to say something to me. And I believe it was wisdom from above and not just earthly wisdom. And as you reach out to those people, then would you do something else? Would you leave those conversations and begin looking for someone in your life that you could serve? That's the staying low part. It's not just about hearing great wisdom from above through people that have impacted your life. It's also then about staying low and humbly looking for opportunities to serve somebody else, someone that you can bless, someone that you can help, someone that you can build up, someone that you can bring peace to, and not just worry about posting about it. Would you reach out to somebody today that needs to speak wisdom from above into your life? And would you look for opportunities this week to stay low in serving someone else?
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.